The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, best-selling author Stormy O'Mardian describes the power of praying through fear.
You can't be all God called you to be. You can't do all God called you to do, because fear is going to limit what you can do and what you can accomplish. And he wants you to be free of it. That's why he says, he promises, I have not given you that. I have not given you that fear. Get close to me. Spend time with me. Worship me. Read my word. It's all about liberating you.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Sheila Walsh. Thank you so much for joining me today on Life Today. You know, we're kind of living in unprecedented times. There may be times in your life where you've thought, gosh, I've never walked through this before. But I think not just here in the States or in Canada or wherever you're watching this program, but all around the world, people are saying, I don't think we've ever been in a place like this before. And I've been reading all sorts of different Facebook posts and things people are putting on Instagram or on Twitter. And my heart really goes out to so many who feel afraid at the moment. It's so hard to see so many isolated. In fact, my husband Barry and I, we do this silly little thing on a Sunday evening. We've only done it twice, but we'll probably keep doing it maybe. And we just call it Church in the Kitchen. And we sit in a couple of stools and we do a Facebook Live on my page, which is Sheila Walsh Connects. And, you know, just try it. Sometimes the dogs interrupt, so it's a wee bit funny. Other times we read scripture or play some worship music. But just try to remind people that no matter what is going on, that God is still good. He is still God. He is still on the throne. And I can read the comments as they're coming up while we're live. And one of them that really touched me was from a lady. She said, I'm 102 years old and I'm in a nursing home and I'm by myself in a room, but tonight I'm not by myself in a room. And that just meant the world to me. And if you feel alone at this time or you feel afraid, this is what I want to read you. This is from the letter to the Hebrews, and it's found in chapter 13. And this is, I'm reading from verse 5. It says, for God has said, not me, not James, not anybody else, for God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. I mean, I love that. I can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. This is a little bit different from what I normally do, but you may remember not terribly long ago, I had one of my friends sitting on the set with me. Her name is Stormy O'Mardian. And one of the ways that God has and continues to use Stormy is to teach all of us how to pray through difficult situations. Well, on one of the shows I did with Stormy, she talked from this book. It's called The Power of Praying Through Fear. And I thought, rather than me just talking today, maybe it would be encouraging to get some words from my friends. So here's a little bit of my message with Stormy O'Mardian. There could not be a more timely book than your new book, The Power of Praying Through Fear. I mean, that when I think of everything that's going on in our nation,
yes.
What led to concentrating and focusing on this specific issue?
It's been on my heart. I mean, there's so many things to be afraid of. I mean, it's just an epidemic. And I would get to where I would be saying hi to someone, like an acquaintance, you know, not someone even know well, saying, oh, how are you doing today, you know? And they would say, oh, I'm so afraid. Wow. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. There's many things to be afraid of, but what are you specifically afraid of most, you know? And they would tell me, you know, I mean, it would be different for different people. They're afraid to go into a public place. They're afraid to have their kids in school. They're afraid that they're going to get a bad diagnosis from the doctor. They're afraid of all kinds of things. It's just endless, the fear. And I thought, you know, I said, God, I know that you didn't give us a spirit of fear. Mm-hmm. And when fear overtakes our life and controls our life, it's a spirit of fear in charge, yeah. You know? And I want you in charge. You've given us love and power and a sound mind.
Yes.
And I want people, and myself included, to lay claim to that love, your power, and the sound mind you have for us. Mm-hmm. And so that was the basis for this book.
Yeah, it was interesting when I was... my husband's father, my father-in-law, his dad was used to own a little store, and somebody broke in, and they locked him in one of those barrels. They nailed it shut.
Oh, wow.
And he was left abandoned. He thought he was going to die.
Yeah.
And it so impacted the rest of his life. He lived perpetually in fear. One of the things I think is true about fear is it's paralyzing.
Yes. Exactly.
It stops you from being who God has called you to be.
That's exactly what I put in there. You can't be all God called you to be. You can't do all God called you to do, because fear is going to limit what you can do and what you're going to accomplish. And he wants you to be free of it. That's why he says, he promises, I have not given you that. I have not given you that fear. Get close to me. Spend time with me. And worship me. Read my word. It's all about liberating you, you know, from fear.
Yeah. And one of the things I think is an important distinction is you can live in this world knowing that some things are going to happen that are not good, but not live in fear.
Yes.
How do you get to that place where you think, okay, you know, something could happen to my child at school, or I could get a bad diagnosis? How do you live with that and not be afraid? How do you shift?
Well, you have to get close to God, which means spending time with Him. It means living His way, you know, to the best of your ability. It means spending time in worship. That's really important, because when you worship God, it's like a funnel that He pours into you Himself. He pours His love and His peace and His power and all of these things like a funnel. And when you spend time with Him and praying and saying, God, I'm really concerned about this. This is really making me afraid. And I'm so afraid with my children at school that something's going to happen to them, you know. Or I'm afraid I'm going to get a terrible diagnosis from the doctor. I mean, all of these things. But take it, whatever you're afraid of, take it to Him in prayer. Don't just say, I'll just ignore it and maybe it'll go away. Because it'll always be there.
Yeah.
And so take it to Him. Say, you know, God, protect my children in school. You know, help us to do the right thing with our bodies, God, so that we don't get into trouble. But God, we know that You are the healer. And Lord, I pray that You would keep us well and heal us when we're not. And I mean, all of these things. And I remember thinking when my Power of a Praying Parent book came out, I went around to the different schools and did a talk on the Power of Praying Parent, and then had women in the school organize a prayer meeting. Sometimes they can meet at the school, sometimes they met in their homes, and whatever, pray for that school. Pray, if you're a parent with kids in school, pray for that school. Pray that no weapon formed against it will prosper. I mean, all of these things that you can pray, and just be a praying woman.
It's kind of fascinating and challenging to me when I look at my own life. I mean, I gave my life to Christ when I was 11. Mm. But for many years, I lived with tremendous depression and fear. I ended up diagnosed with severe clinical depression. Mm. I ended up in a psychiatric hospital. Mm.
Yeah.
And my father committed suicide in a psychiatric hospital.
Oh, wow.
So my fear was always, whatever was in him is in me.
Yes, yes.
But I stand with you, Stormy, knowing that... that the power of the Word of God can break all those yokes.
Yes.
And those things that you think. So many, I'm thinking of some viewers thinking, well, this is just inevitable. But in Christ, it's not.
No, it's not. You know, exactly. You can break those family curses and just say, I refuse. My mother is mentally ill, too, you know, and very frightening. And so I had that spirit of fear on me, from far back as I could remember. But I prayed for my kids that it would not come on them. I was always afraid that I'd inherit it, you know, and I just prayed for them that they would never inherit anything like that. And that, I mean, just constantly praying, and they didn't, and I didn't either. And so prayer is really powerful. And so if you're afraid, whatever you're afraid of, start praying. I know you think, well, I've got this little prayer, and this problem is so big, and how can we control everything? You don't have to control anything. Let God, invite God to be in control. Let Him be in control of your life. Let Him be in control of your school. But these women praying in these schools, I'm telling you, not one of them We haven't lost a kid yet. Wow. And I know that their prayers are powerful. Wow. You know, and I'm saying that prayer works. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. So I'm thinking of, I know some of the letters I get from some of our viewers. I'm thinking of somebody listening in and watching and thinking, I believe that. I want to do it, but I don't know where to start.
Yes.
You know, because a lot of people think, I don't know what to say. I'm not a prayer warrior. What would you say to somebody who says, where do I start?
Buy my books, okay?
Exactly. That's a brilliant answer.
No, I gave up. I gave my life, poured my life into these books. I did.
Yeah.
And I wrote them for you. I want you to know how to pray. That because I saw, one of the most shocking things to me is after I'd seen all these answers to prayer is that people weren't praying. I mean, I'm talking believers. A lot of believers weren't praying. And I thought, oh, this has got to change.
Yes.
And so I would, you know, organize prayer groups in other places and in other people's homes and in other, you know, states and other mm-hmm. countries and say, organize, just, you know, where two or more are gathered. God says he's right there. He's in the midst of you. You know, I'm mm-hmm. there. If you've got two or more, I'm there, he says. So invite him, you know, invite someone else and invite him in prayer to be a part of your prayer group. All it takes is one other person,
wow.
and you can add as many as you want, you know?
Wow.
And so it's just starting to do it, saying, God, I'm not good at this. I don't know where to start or where to pray. And usually you can start right in the Word. You know,
yeah.
if you read any of the Word, it's going to inspire you to pray about something, you know?
And one of the things I love is that my understanding that, like, the Psalms were Jesus' prayer book. You know, and we can pray the Psalms back to God
yes.
as well.
Oh,
and
yes.
I find that it's almost
yeah.
like God gives us words then to
yes.
be able to know how to pray back.
Yes.
And I love that.
Yes.
Is there any way that God uses fear for good purpose?
Yes, yes. Oh, yes. When when fear can be good or bad. Mostly bad if it's controlling your life. Good if it's drawing you close to God. If you are afraid of something and it brings you to your knees, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Or maybe you're afraid, oh, I don't feel like I should be driving into town tonight or something, and there on the road is a huge accident. I mean, there's things
yeah.
that
mm-hmm.
like that have happened to me where I thought, oh, no, I'm not going to go today, you
yeah.
know. And sure enough, there was some horrible thing. And if you're constantly praying and constantly in tune with the Lord, and if he lets you be afraid, and you know, of something, ask him, God, is this? Are you trying to tell me something with this?
Yeah.
And he will.
Pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so that's when it's good.
Yeah, I totally see that. That it can either drive you further away from God,
yes.
or it can push you on your knees,
yes.
your face before him. I love that.
Yes.
What do you say to somebody who thinks that, you know, actually I'm doing pretty well with most things, but the thing I actually am afraid of is death? What do you say to that?
Oh, I used to have that too. I used to be, well, that's, you know, when I was a new believer and I really coming out of this horrible life that I was living. But as I got closer and closer to the Lord, I began to see, you know, everything in his Word about what heaven's like and what that transition is like. And I think trusting God's Word to, mm-hmm. to speak to you and just trusting his Spirit to speak to you about that too, because he's going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, he's either going to send his angels or he's going to be there in person. It depends on how busy he is.
But it's a win-win either way.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I love that.
It's a transition that's going to be peaceful. And actually, you could pray for that, too.
Yeah.
You can say, God, I want my death to be peaceful. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to be a horrifying, gut-wrenching, miserable, horrible thing. Let me have a peaceful transition to you. I mean, what have you got to lose? You know, I don't know yet if that worked. I'm praying that. But I think it will. And I've seen people who had peaceful deaths,
mm-hmm.
and they have seen something.
Right.
I mean, they have seen something. One lady had her eyes closed, you know, eyes closed and almost like in a coma. And then she opened her eyes, and she had this great smile. It's like, it's like that.
Wow.
And then she died. And I know
that's
she saw something
beautiful.
Really great. Yes, and I've heard that a mm-hmm. lot of times. So something great is going to happen when you
die. I believe that. I had a letter from a viewer who said that her husband, like that, had been not communicative mm-hmm. for some time. And in the last moments, he opened his eyes, but he said, you came.
Yes. Oh, I love that.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes. My uncle Jack died recently, and my aunt said... She said, you know, he was basically comatose, mm-hmm. you know, And then he did the same thing. He opened his eyes and, wow, he says, look at all those people. Oh. And some of them are angels, he said.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. And he died. And this is just recently. And I think, there's some good things going to be happening. And not to fear it. He's going to be there. Mm-hmm. You know, to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord.
Present with the Lord. That.
Yes, me too. And I'm thinking, we're dreading this death thing, but he's got something good for us.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so we don't have
Fantastic.
To be afraid.
Oh, yes, he does. He has something so, so good for you and for me. You know, I think in days that seem dark, in days where we're not sure what's happening in the world, I just keep getting these incredible reports of what Jesus is doing in the world. Take a country like Iran. You know, that's what used to be Persia. And in Iran, where the regime is very tight, where women have very limited freedom, Jesus is actually physically appearing to women in Iran. And women in Iran are being saved, are giving their lives to Christ, because suddenly there he is. That no matter how dark our days get, the light of Christ is always brighter. And if you're in a place right now where you're thinking, I feel so alone, and I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, and I don't know how I'm going to pay this month's bills, I want to remind you that scripture from Hebrews that Christ has promised. In fact, if you actually go into the original text, the original language, it's written strangely, and that's why they don't translate it that way for us, but it's almost like he's saying, you will not know never be alone. It's like emphasized over and over and over. And if you feel like fear has begun to take grip, I want to remind you that is not your legacy as a believer. Fear does not come from the Lord. It's the enemy who loves to use fear to kind of shake us to our core. But whenever I've been in situations like that, and I have been, places where I wasn't sure what tomorrow was going to bring, places when I was pretty sure I could not pay all of my bills, you know, I found is such an antidote to fear. A couple of things. One of the most powerful prayers you could pray right now, whether you're 11 watching this, or whether you're like my friend who's 101, you can simply call out the name Jesus. Jesus. There is power in the name of the Lord. Number two, read the Word. You know, so often we're watching the news to see what's happening. But you know, I've read the news in here and we win. You know, in the end, we win. Yes, we'll walk through some difficult days. But if you use the Psalms, you know, the Psalms are like, it's like God tucked a hymn book right into your Bible. And they weren't meant to be just read a couple of verses. They were actually meant to be sung out loud. So find a psalm like Psalm 27. And if you're feeling like you're having a hard time, just read the first few verses. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And then you slip down a few more verses and you come to this, and I believe. I will live to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And third, worship. There's power in your praise. And the more that we lift our hearts and our hands and our eyes toward heaven, I think the more that our vision becomes clear enough to see that there's things that we can do in these times to bring hope to people who have not hope. People who think, God, are you listening to my prayer? I want to show you a father who wants to know, God, are you there? And we can be the answer to say, yes, watch this.
Perhaps the greatest fear of parents concerns the health of their children. It's especially true in Africa. Adriano is a godly father in Angola who once took pride in his ability to provide for his family. But tragedy has changed that.
Chavari mwenemba, daikuri andanyenda lomba, ngomba ndimunuka kwatamira chini. muntu munhu akakwatamira chimwe ba akamberwa lokwamwene wetu kasingombara chimwe muchiringo mbiri mukondari mana vatusha pandoto.
Adriano told us food and health are two critical issues in his community. You see, when parents take care of sick children, there's little time to farm and produce food. But without food, children's immune systems become weak and more susceptible to disease. It's a vicious cycle.
When you look at a little one like this little one's name is Balbina Natula. This color of hair, this red hair, means that the body has stopped sending nutrients to the hair. So there's no protein. These are terrible signs. And it's why mission feeding is absolutely vital for us. We want to be able to get to where help is needed now, and help is needed now in these villages, to feed their bodies so that they have strength, that we can feed their souls and spirits. You can't hear that Jesus loves you when you're starving to death. That little one held onto my finger for such a long time. And he couldn't say a word. He's just a little lamb. But I heard the cry. It was just like holding on. And I look into the face of that father. Can you imagine? I mean, if you're a man, if you're a dad watching right now, can you imagine what it would feel like to know that your two children died because you were not able to put food on the table? One of the ways that God has designed us as families is that men find such affirmation and strength and joy in being able to provide for their families. And these dads that we meet, they're one, I mean, he's a godly man. He prays for his family, but his two children still died because he couldn't put food on the table. And I don't know this because he told me, but I know this because I know what happens. I bet he ate nothing during the days when they just had a little left. I would be absolutely sure that whatever he had, he gave it to his two children, but it wasn't enough, and they died. And I know that he is heartbroken. And that's why we here at Life Outreach International, no matter what's going on in our nation, we will not stop caring for these children. We've made a commitment to feed 350,000 children this year. And if we all do our part, now some of you don't have a lot of, you know, extra cash at the moment, then get together with two or three other members of your family and make a commitment. We're not going to stop just because of the fact that we're hurting. Because just for $30, you can feed three children for 3 months. 3 months. Some of you might be able to do $50. That will feed five children. Some might be able to do $100, and that would feed 10. Why don't you do it as a Sunday school class or as a small group? You know, you can't, maybe we're still in a place, you know, where we're not able to physically meet, but we could do this. We could agree that even as some churches, and probably most of us still by now, this may re-air, so I'm being a little careful, but we might not be able to be back in home in our churches. But we can still be the body of Christ sitting on our sofa and saying, we're going to make a difference. So please, Betty always said, never let that food line be greater than the food we have to give them. So please, will you call that number on your screen? Will you go online? Will you make the very best gift you can? If you're going to write a check to Life, maybe just give us a little call and say, hey, this is how much I'm sending a check. This is how much it's for. So we know, and we can let our partners on the ground. Please give your best gift now.
Mission Feeding began with a promise to be there in times of crisis for thousands of hurting and hungry children in their time of need. Now more than ever, we need your help to save lives by feeding and caring for children across the continent of Africa. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish our supplies to reach the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Your gift of love can be the miracle answer to a desperate mother's prayer. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 that will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the Global Impact of Life Journal. This softcover journal includes pictures from the mission field and inspiring scriptures as a reminder of your impact in giving to bless lives around the world. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Global Impact Bible. This English Standard Version presents a fascinating guide to the impact of the best-selling book of all time, filled with quotes from well-known figures, photographs, and reproductions of fine art. It highlights the many surprising ways Scripture has shaped civilization. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our commemorative bronze sculpture, A Mother's Strength. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
This is just the beginning of the hungry season, and yet already we're seeing a line here that is way longer than what we're used to seeing. Far more mothers and children here than what I've seen for a long time. That terrifies me, because what that means is that many of these children may well lose their life. And that's why we have to get mission feeding out there into the villages. You see, if we get to the villages where these mothers are, if we can meet them there with mission feeding, we can solve this problem where we can guarantee life. Here we fight the battle of life and death. Out in the village with mission feeding, we guarantee life. Please, do whatever you can do. Partner with us to help us continue to expand mission feeding and continue mission feeding in the areas we are, so that we can guard against mothers and children having to be in malnutrition clinics.
Pretty compelling, huh? And the fact that we can make such a difference with so little, it's exciting. You know, these could be devastating days or exciting days, because we remember who's on the throne. Now, if you would like to get The Power of Praying Through Fear by Stormy Omardian, we will send that to you. For any gift at all, we will send you this Global Impact of Life Journal. You want to see what your money is doing, the difference it's making, then we will send that. And if you're able to send $100, we will send you this beautiful Global Impact Bible. And what that shows is how the Word of God has impacted our culture. But I just want to say, from all of us here at Life Outreach, God bless you. Thanks for being with us, and we'll see you next time. God has this unlikely army of warriors, like you said, Betty, and we are on the move in Jesus' name.
Discovering your role in an uncertain world. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.